Charu,
Hello, how are you?
hi. I'm really good. How are you?
A bit soggy because it hasn't stopped raining for what seems for like 4 days, but other than that, I'm good.
I know it's been another kind of biblical one, hasn't it? Where I am too. And it's we had one like this. We had an episode of rain probably about 3 months ago. My wife and I were saying, hopefully this doesn't happen for like another 3 or 4 years. And it's like that was 2 months ago. And it's like I just hope it doesn't happen this regularly moving forward. But we'll see. But Choru, thank you so much for joining me on the Employer Bland podcast. If you don't mind, I was just going to do a very, very quick introduction on your behalf. Because I know you and you're probably far too modest to say some of the things that I'm about to say. But Choru Malhotra, lots of experience in the employer brand, recruitment, marketing, talent acquisition domain globally. You've worked for some huge, huge players in the market in some seriously big leadership roles. We're talking about McKinsey, Pegasystems, PA Consulting, just to name a few. So I'm really looking forward to picking your brain today on a topic. It's probably fair to say I don't actually know a huge amount about. And when you and I got talking about this, it really struck a chord with me. It's probably fair to say, Charu, it was a thread that I was really keen to kind of continue to pull on. So what we're going to talk about today is internal employer branding, and specifically, what is internal employer branding and why should we be paying attention to it, certainly moving into 2025? So that's my super long intro out of the way. I'm really sorry about that. But just to kick things off, Charu, can you give everybody listening a little bit of background on you and who you are? It's kind of how we like to kick episodes off. And even going as far back as you growing up and where you're from and some of your early influences in kind of life and business and how maybe some of that has shaped you getting to where you are today in your professional life.
Absolutely, and that's really lovely to get that opportunity because you don't really get that when you're talking about yourself. So I'm Charu Malhotra. I am a proud Brummie. So for those people watching outside the UK, second biggest city in the UK, and I'm very proud of coming from there, even though it's got a bad rep. I am somebody that has worked in global organizations, but also small organizations, always in transformational roles. So even when I was a recruiter at Vodafone and BP, doing roles, filling requisitions, they were in the states of transformation. So love change, enjoy building, enjoy problem solving. And for me, if something's completely working and happy, it doesn't really kind of give me that sort of joy and excitement. And on a personal basis, massive music and Bollywood fan, love the theatre. I'm very, very happy, probably the most happiest when I'm walking either by the sea or surrounded by woods and trees. So for me, bit of somebody who enjoys being outside a lot. And on top of that, I'm a massive word nerd. So I'm often walking, enjoying nature, thinking about work, thinking about solving problems, but also in my head composing a story or wondering about different words and so on. So it makes me sound like a real nerd, and I'm proud to say I am one.
I love that. That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much. And it's really nice to we've had a few conversations now, but it's nice to understand a li little bit more as well. So yeah, I really appreciate that. So look, the topic that we're going to be diving into, internal employer branding and why should we be paying attention to internal employer branding. When you and I first spoke about this, and we've only spoke about this briefly because I think we wanted to leave the conversation for this episode, but when we first started talking about this, my immediate kind of thought process went towards EVP. And I was like, okay, I think Charu is, is she, is it more EVP she's talking about? But very quickly it was like, no, there is still a very clear separation between EVP and internal employer branding. So just to set the scene, can you please kind of define internal employer branding and why is it so important?
So I think we and I'm not introducing a new concept. So, we don't need another concept in employer branding and EVP. We can talk about jargon till cows come home. So what I am proposing and saying, and I've been saying this for the last 2, 3 years, is we build employee value propositions, whether in big global organizations, which take a long time, or in smaller businesses where we're more agile and they don't take as long. But we build these employee value propositions, which are based on external research, on external competitor intelligence, and internal focus groups, internal data, often a lot of leadership interviews. And that's how we create an employee value proposition, that wonderful give and get of what an employee and a candidate gets. My point around internal employer branding is that we activate that EVP with such a over index on the external market to provide external attraction, to provide resources and people and candidates for the TA team. We don't spend enough time on that internal activation and activation constantly. So in internal employer branding is saying that EVP has to be messaged as consistently and as skillfully and as intentionally internally, especially today and tomorrow and the time after that, as we do with external candidates. Mm-hmm. And our recruitment marketing and our messaging externally, Chris, and we both see this, mm-hmm. can often be switched on and switched off based on how much hiring we're doing, which is the wrong thing, but it is, let's face it. If you're not doing lots of hiring, suddenly your messaging and your external recruitment marketing get switched off. But actually, internally, we should be thinking about it as a consistent, constant drum. So internal marketing is not anything new. It's that EVP, wonderful messaging that we do when we launch the EVP internally, but it has to be, and you should use the same techniques that we use externally for your employees. And the reasons behind that, we will talk to as our call progresses.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as you were talking there, Charu, I'm thinking, you know, as hiring needs, you know, as they ebb and flow, as they always will, the priorities for employer branders, independent employer branders or employer brand teams will kind of change. And I think when there's huge focus on hiring and attraction, and it's really important to get the right people into the business, you know, there's a lot of like key principles that can be adopted and executed really quickly to make sure the right people are coming into the organization. I assume with internal employer branding, it's nice to have, is it fair to say maybe, it's nice to have a well laid out strategy in place, because when hiring demand, you know, does eventually kind of simmer a little bit, which it always will, it doesn't matter where you work, there will be times, this is something that you can not so much pick up and drop, but this is an activity you can put a lot more effort into when there isn't, you know, incredible demand for talent. It's, you know, looking after, you know, making sure that the numbers are where they need to be from a retention point of view, making sure attrition is in the right place, that type of thing. Would you say that as hiring needs ebb and flow, this is an activity that you can jump into and you know, spend more time in?
So the answer is yes and no. So absolutely, this is a great place to be focused on if your employer branding team is under the spotlight about, you know, what are they doing? Why do we need employer branding? This is a really good way of going, actually, we can help join the dots internally to help focus on retention, attrition, and engagement. But I believe that actually going forward, employer branding leadership roles and employer branding roles per se should incorporate this activity. And it's not just something that gets dropped when hiring becomes louder and more visible externally. There has to be a balance. And of course, Chris, that balance and that percentage will change depending on the needs of the business. The kind of the driver of this, though, is, you know, LinkedIn data tells us this, Gartner data tells us this, you know, issued a couple of weeks ago, that from a CEO and a talent perspective, one of the biggest areas of concern is that whole internal mobility. You know, individuals are feeling handcuffed to their organizations, employees rather, because they can see the market is a depressed one in most of the countries that, you know, we're operating in the Western world, but therefore and they're at home, they're in their businesses, a bit unwilling. They're there, but they're not actually as productive as they could be. So productivity in the UK is certainly, lower. So this is a really good opportunity to do three things. It's that EVP that's cost you money and time and an awful lot of effort that you created. This is a wonderful opportunity to remind your employees about what those EVP messages are. That's the first one, because you know, the launch has gone a couple of years ago. Secondly, it's a really great reminder to go, is this still valid? Is it still relevant? Are all the 3 to 5 things that we are clear on, are they still relevant? Do they still make sense? And that means that not chucking out the EVP, but actually, is there 1 or 2 things from a messaging perspective that we need to change and be agile about and be reflective about? And then the third thing is, I've certainly have worked in a lot of organizations where employees' biggest bugbear when they leave, or actually in their engagement surveys, is we don't know what's next. We don't understand what the career path is. We don't know what certain functions do. And this is a really brilliant way of us working with the talent teams, with the HR teams, with internal comms, and with our business to demystify what do different functions do, to demystify how do you get to that role, and really use those external storytelling techniques, the activation techniques internally, so that employees don't resign because they see opportunities externally and not internally, and employees don't sit there and stay in their engagement data. We don't have a Scooby what the business is doing, because we've reminded people of what the business is doing from a strategy perspective. We've reminded employees what the career path look like, because let's face it, in most companies, career paths are wonderfully articulated for high potentials or certain segments. Most employees don't really understand how to progress rung on the ladder. And that's why when you ever do a career site project, and I have done 6 in my career, it's always the data that comes back with, you know, the employees are going to your external career site, because the internal intranet in a lot of companies is often a bit unloved, and certainly hasn't been given the resource and the time and the energy that the external career site has. Employees can't ever find things. A really long-winded answer to go, this is the why.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And from what you're saying there, Charu, I'm assuming that, you know, putting more focus into internal employer branding enables you just to be way more efficient. You know, for example, with the storytelling piece that you touched on a few moments ago, you know, I've only really seen storytelling ever used from an external employer brand kind of activation perspective. I've never really seen it done, or certainly, you know, that I can remember done well as an internal activation piece, you know, to, you know, for the purpose of, you know, of retention and all the other, you know, great benefits of keeping, you know, teams engaged. Would you say efficiency is right up there, you know, as in, you know, the work that you're doing externally and the effort you're putting externally, just think about how you can cross-pollinate a lot of that into the internal employer brand.
Yeah, absolutely. Efficiency, and that means from a dollars and pounds perspective and time, but also that joining up of the messaging with your internal colleagues to produce that storytelling is critical too. So you're not working in a silo. If you can tell the story of why Chris has worked for the business for 6 years and the 3 jobs he's done internally and played out on your intranet, put that in your newsletter, use it as an internal conference, and have it on your career site or push out on your socials, then that budget has gone much more efficiently being utilized. Your internal employees are seeing this content that they are also seeing externally. They're much more likely to refer their friends, their family, and also become advocates. So yeah, efficiency, but also, as we've always said, and all your guests have said it, you know, the EVP has to start inside out, not outside in. So yeah, efficiency, but also we're going back to the basics that we always said we would have, but just doing it with a lot more, as is it, intention and effort.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, this question might be a super obvious one, but again, excuse, you know, how naive I might be with some of these questions, but I'm so interested in this internal employer brand, you know, the notion of it. And it's clearly something that is being done, but it's not, you know, something that I've seen a huge amount of, so I'm super interested to find out more. So in regards to the North Star metric, let's say of an external employer brand, it's typically it's talent engagement. It's making sure you're attracting the right people into your organization. Okay. If we start looking at North Star metrics for internal employer brand, you know, what would you say the key aspects are, and how would you typically measure those kind of key aspects, Charu?
Yeah, so I think externally, as you said, it's making sure that the TA team are getting the right applicants and candidates through the door as effectively and as quickly and well as possible, and hiring them. So they become productive employees. From an internal perspective, I think there's three areas. A, the North Star should be everyone internally actually knowing what your EVP is, not because it's a wonderful project that I've worked on as the EVP leader, but because it's based on the internal truths and it's based on what we're trying to say we are proud of and why someone should work here versus somewhere else. Why this job that may look the same as another job somewhere else is different. What's different? What's different about the culture? So I think it's internally your productivity goes higher. So again, you know, from an efficiency perspective, that's a really big one. But I think also in your engagement surveys, you know, we'll ask, and you know, good employer branders will be involved in that engagement survey. You know, some of the questions could be in there from them, and they have done when I've worked in my companies, is, you know, are you aware of what our EVP is? Are you proud to work for this company? Would you refer a friend? Are you clear about the career paths? And you should see, and the career paths piece is really critical, because again, going back to the Gartner and the LinkedIn data, and anyone that's does research on the future of work, that intention of actually staying and progressing becomes really important, and the ability to learn. Because, you know, we've all seen that data in terms of we're trying to hire for jobs that may not exist in 5 years' time. So therefore, as an employee and a candidate, I want to know, if I join you, I'll learn and I'll have agile learning, and so that my ability to be in secure employment is secure. If I'm not seeing anything about learning, I'm going to worry. I'm going to be anxious. So I think it's that whole, is it clear to me as an employee, I've got a learning path? So your North Star is that EVP. Do people know what it is? Not just the people that are the senior stakeholders. And secondly, in the engagement surveys, are people happy to refer people? Are people happy to know what the messaging is? Are they going to be brand advocates and comfortable being it? You don't need to incentivize them because they don't want to do it of their own free will. And then lastly, the engagement and productivity becomes something that naturally happens, because you've got people that understand what they're getting, rather than being sitting in a corner going, I don't know how that person got that job. It becomes much more crystallized and much more clearer to them.
Yeah, it makes an awful lot of sense. So, we've touched on the point of internal comms a few times already in this conversation. But, you know, for anybody listening that may find themselves in an employer brand role that hasn't done so much of this internal work, what are the key relationships? You know, internal comms has to be right up there, I'm assuming, well as relationships with pretty much every other team in the organization. Because, what I'm sensing as this conversation's unfolding is that this is really just about, it's a taking off the bedsheets project, isn't it? It's about everybody kind of knowing, as many people as possible knowing, what's going on everywhere. So I think the more that we know and the more information, then it's like, you see someone at the water cooler, it's like, I now actually know that person started here as an intern 15 years ago. They went on this crazy journey. They had a 2-year sabbatical where they met this person. And it's kind of just knowing stuff that you wouldn't have known previously. And I think just that in its own right is a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's just having your eyes wide open to the organization around you. But back to my original question, what are the key relationships for you to kind of foster to make internal employer branding work?
Yeah, so I think working with your internal comms colleagues, who more often than not will own the channels that you want to be involved in, because this isn't an internal comms role, there's a lot of similarity, and in smaller businesses, they may not have internal comms. So again, most big businesses will. So it's being very, very closely aligned with the internal comms team. But first of all, it's being really aware of what the business problems are. So we've talked about retention a lot and productivity. Mm. Are they actually problems that the business is facing? Mm. I think dependent on that. But I also would say that the learning and development area or the talent teams, being really close to that team is really important. Yeah. When I say close, I mean understanding what is the talent strategy and what are the learning interventions that the business are doing. And being really open and honest. So if there isn't a learning, you know, intervention, by that I mean in terms of, you know, is there work being done on career pathing? Is there work being done on making sure that all segments of the employee base understand how to progress? Then volunteer and say, actually, is this something we can work with together? Because it'll really benefit both the TA team. You get called up by a recruiter or an in-mail. What's next? Where can I produce the next, you know, opportunity for you? Those are the questions that candidates are asking. So it will benefit the TA team. So I think your talent and learning development team, your internal comms team, obviously, if you've got an employee engagement team, be besties with them. And of course, you know, any team that gets involved in content creation. So I my last role, it's a smaller, medium-sized business, only 4,500 employees, but they were doing an awful lot of work on internal conferences. And those conferences would create great content, sometimes videos, sometimes little vox pops and so on. Getting involved with that, being really aware of what's going on so that you can A, utilize that content, but also say to them, you know, you're taking some videos over that the conference that you're doing. Can I give you some questions to ask? You can't be everywhere and you're a normal team of one or two, but being really aware and making people aware, not just once, not just twice, that any content let you be involved in, because again, we're talking about in an age of efficiency, of being smarter with how we spend our money. If we can use a piece of content and rather than just having it, the employee answer three questions, answering six at that conference that they rock up, the TA team's happy because they've got something they can use in their in-mail. The internal comms team is happy because they can use it on the intranet and the internal newsletter. I'm happy from an EB perspective because I can get it done and put into a nice sizzle that I can use on LinkedIn. And it's efficient. And then CFO's happy because he's suddenly realizing that we're spending money a lot more wisely.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And with the content creation piece, you know, many projects that I've been involved in over the years, there's always a really like finite, like crystallized agenda as to why that piece of content is being made. Mm-hmm. And what I'm kind of, you know, sensing from this conversation is, sometimes it might be nice to create content, but without having really like clearly defined agenda of right, this one piece of content is for that one job role that we need to fill. And that's the only reason we're creating it, as opposed to just being more inquisitive. So creating content with individuals or teams of people where we just want to find out more about them, maybe not even having an agenda. You know, it's because we've got some time with the studio or there's some videographers or content creators we can work with. But start approaching content creation from we plan to use this in one of like 20 different places. We don't even know where we're going to use this, but we're just interested in our people and we want to capture stories because we know it's going to be beneficial somewhere. And so would you say, you know, kind of me circling around to a question, but would you say that, you know, creating content without too much of an agenda that could be used for an array of purposes is probably quite a nice thing to start getting familiar with?
I think it's a nice idea and concept. How I would approach it though is probably doing a bit more extra work. So rather than saying there's no agenda, is if you are lucky enough to have budget to create a piece of content for that job that is really hard to fill, and you know that, you know, once you've filled one, you'll get another two or three, is thinking a bit wider than that, going, okay, well, actually, if we can talk and create some content that talks about once that person joins, what their success looks like in 6 months' time, in 12 months' time, get some time with the hiring manager, but do the work up front so that agenda becomes broader. Okay, well, why can't we create some content that the hiring manager can use in that 3 months onboarding period with the new employee that you can use internally? So I would say, definitely get used to thinking about content in a broader extent. Yeah. Don't create it with no agenda, but create it with a real strong vision maybe that's too big a word, but a really strong aspiration that I want to rinse it out. I want to be reusing the tea bag again and again and again.
How many
ways can I use it? And that actually takes more upfront work, homework, prep work, because you want to go and talk to internal comms and going, how do we do this and where can we use it? The reason why is, and I've been there, and I'm sure you have as a podcast extraordinaire, where if you haven't thought about your distribution and your channel strategy, you've got this beautiful piece of content with a sound bite and a sizzle, but actually you haven't teed up where you're going to use it, and therefore you don't have calendar time. So for me, what's worked really well is creating a group of individuals across those different functions I mentioned. Sometimes it's been formalized as a steering committee. Sometimes it's just been informal, including the employee resource groups, because they're normally really good about celebrating moments that matter internally and externally, and being upfront that we are really hungry for content, and this is how it's going to help internally, not just externally, because people are busy. Yeah. And you can approach them with no agenda, but more importantly, if I'm spending 20 minutes talking to you, I want to know where you're using that clip. So I think I would say that's the only area I would disagree or challenge. It does require an agenda, but more from a efficiency perspective and the thinking upfront. How am I going to use it? Where am I going to use it? And that's why that connectivity with the functions I've talked about is really key.
Fine, makes an awful lot of sense. So make sure there is a well-crafted agenda, but the key point being, make sure that agenda can hopefully cater to a bunch of different activities. So you can, when you're squeezing the lemon, there's plenty of juice coming out of it, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got tea bags and lemons. What else could we
bring in? Okay, fine. So you know, from an external employer brand activation point of view, there's a bunch of tech that can be used, can be leveraged, you know, whether that's distributing content across career sites, from ATSs to a bunch of different places, programmatic ads, social media advertising, blah blah blah. When we're focusing on the technology that is widely used internally for an internal employer brand, can you talk to us a little bit about some of your experiences with different types of technologies that have equipped you with success?
Yeah, so I have been really fortunate that I have implemented a couple of technologies from a content creation perspective that the TA team and the EB team have used. I've implemented it two or three times. But actually, when you ask the question of the vendor, you can use it internally. So one of them is Paperfly. So that's really, really helping me create content internally, both imagery and copy and so on, and actually using that internally so my comms colleagues and colleagues outside of employer branding and TA can use it and change things like imagery or tone of voice within the consistent EVP and EB palette has been really key. Why that's been really effective, Chris, is it's been measurable and you get wonderful analytics. Because again, just because you're doing internal marketing doesn't mean you don't need to be proving ROI and showing data and showing insight. And even if no one's asking for it, you know, show it, tell the story and so on. The other thing that I implemented in my last but one job was a platform to help with referrals, which also did advocacy. That again, the sell and the pitch never talked about internal, but actually when I asked the question and my head of internal comms asked the question through the process of implementation, we could use it internally. And where that became really magical was with that and with smart with the ATS that we were using, which was smart recruiters, we could make the internal intranet where internal jobs were posted much more impactful, because they were using the same crafted imagery that we're using externally, and it was much easier to share internally. So if I saw as an employee a job internally, previously not using that technology, it was really hard. I have to copy and paste, and therefore you give up because you're busy. Yeah. And you know, what's the point? This technology allowed us to let employees share much, 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 much quicker, but also gave us really lovely insight and really good data on who was which functions were sharing most and getting a lead table. And also the ones that weren't sharing, even though there was a big vacuum, let's say, you know, for digital, why aren't they sharing? To do a bit of a dig down and go, what is stopping you? And, you know, sometimes the issues were they haven't got the time. Sometimes the issues were the referral bonuses weren't very high, so they weren't attracted to it. But the point is that technology that we've often implemented in employer branding, if you ask the partner or the vendor or the owner, more often than not, either they haven't thought about it internally, because this is a relatively newer concept to us all. It's something they can adapt to. But again, be really mindful that actually the type of data that you're getting externally on the shares and how the content is working, which asset is using being most effective externally, so you can sort them in and out, you know, from a programmatic perspective. Having that internally is important. And it works really well, Chris. So whenever I've done career sites, employees and the data I've got from my agencies that I've used has shown me that internal employees are often the second biggest audience to the external website. That's because the internal experience is really poor. It's really hard to find the content. It's labor intensive. And when they do get to that page, it's really crummy copy. It's really crummy application process. It's just not seen as a very candidate employee experience that anyone's really happy with. So that's why they gravitate externally. If you can work with your vendors, and I said every time I've broached the question, it's being greeted with a lot of positivity. You're making the same, hopefully frictionless, positive experience for internal employees that you are for candidates.
And I can imagine, Charu, that, you know, if you get that part of the process right and you can really start ramping up, you know, referral based hiring, cost per hire just shoots down, doesn't it? Like the savings that you will make from, you know, you're making more direct hires, you're involving internal staff in the hiring process, which there's so many metrics and statistics based on, you know, if people are actively involved in that process, they're more likely to stick around in an organization for longer. So there's so many benefits, I think, aren't there, to encouraging that referral hiring part of the process. It pays off, doesn't it, surely, in so many different areas?
Yeah, it pays off from a referral perspective, a cost per hire. It pays off because ultimately, if you are always struggling to hire in a particular area, getting them involved from an internal perspective to go, you know, that the things that we're saying externally, do they still match what you're feeling? Going back to that validating the EVP. And also then they become advocates. So if they've actually believed in that EVP messaging, but they've never actually had any messaging to use, if their jobs are always seen as a bit of the poor relation in the corner, and suddenly they're getting a lot of attention, certainly we're saying to that function, you know, come and tell us your stories, and we're heroing the business leader, we're heroing the last five hires that we made in the last 2 years. And suddenly they're seeing those stories being circulated internally. Well, why would you not then be more invested? You give more referrals, you're sharing the content that the employer branding team's been banging on about for the last year much more frequently. And lastly, you're actually prouder because you've understood what the EVP is. As I said, don't resist though the urge to go, everything is magical and we're just going to use the same EVP. This is also a really good opportunity to make sure that EVP is still valid. So if they're telling you, if that function is saying to you, this doesn't work for us, the answer isn't, oh, I don't want to talk to you or go on to somewhere else. It's trying to uncover what part isn't. You don't need to throw the EVP away, but actually does one or two of the messaging needs to be reworked. You know, EVP should be dynamic. It shouldn't be sitting there going, we're not going to look at this, you know, for the next 5 years because we've done it now. It was too painful. We've done it.
So, you know, if you're investing more time into the internal part of the employer brand process, you're going to be speaking to more people. You're going to be uncovering lots more of everything. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of good stuff in there, but there's also naturally, doesn't matter where you work and what business you're doing this in, you will be uncovering things that you're not expecting or are like, wow, I thought you were going to tell me it's brilliant and it's great and actually you're having a tough time and it's not so great or there's these issues. You know, with that in mind, Charu, you know, with the internal employer branding part of the process, you know, what do you do with that stuff? You know, you're going to be unearthing things that it's not all roses, sunshine and, brilliant. It's, you know, sparkles and glitter and stuff. It's, you know, there's going to be some difficult conversations. There's going to be some tough stuff that's being unearthed. What do you do, you know, when that happens?
Yeah, so I think it goes back to you're not starting this work in a bubble and a vacuum. A, because you can't suddenly start doing focus group with employees and not making sure that people internally know and approve and are aware of the why. So I think the first thing is making sure that people that need to be aware, i.e. the HR team and the business team, are aware that you're going to be picking up insights. And I think what do you do with it becomes really kind of key around how are you distilling it, because you will have people that are unhappy, you'll have people that are happier to moan than be positive. And there's nothing wrong with that, because also when I've done focus groups, sometimes it's like therapy. People want the time and the space to talk about these things that are niggling them. I've had people talk half an hour about the brand of coffee that's been changed in the restaurant. I mean, that's, you know, and you've got to give them that space, right? But I think, you know, it's that content that comes up, that information that comes up, you know, being a professional about it and synthesizing it and go, you know, if one person's saying it, you know, you just deal with that person in the focus room as a professional. But if it's a trend and it's come up in five focus groups about actually there's an area of, you know, people are unsure about how jobs are, how promotions are happening, that's something that your talent team and your CHRO needs to be aware of, because that's going to lead to individuals thinking, I might as well go somewhere else, or people thinking, this is a positive place to work. If things are a trend, you know, I think it's, again, going back to that point around making sure you're sharing insights. So you've already built a space for, on a monthly or quarterly pace, talking about what's working, what's not. Build those anecdotes and those stories into that. This is a trend we've observed in this market, you know, or across corporate functions. People don't know how to apply for jobs internally, or across this call center. It's really apparent that people think that if you're sitting in the head office, you get more bonuses or you get more holidays. We know that's not true. So there needs more intervention from a localized HR perspective. So I think it's that, it's something, a trend that you're seeing more than once. And also you've already built up, Chris, that whole way of giving insights and giving data. So you've already built that space. And of course, if something's a red flag, you know, you're hearing about bullying or a toxic scenario, you're not the HR business partner, you're not the HR director, you have got a strong position there to what your framework is. It's following the process of the business to kind of flag where it needs to be flagged.
That's perfect. Makes an awful lot of sense. So for anybody listening, Charu, that might be an independent employer brander, might be, you know, an employer brand leader or a member of a team that is really stretched, you know, currently spinning a bunch of plates in a super, super busy, enormous organization. And maybe somebody that hasn't actually spent an awful lot of time on the internal part of employer branding. They're so stretched externally that, you know, they haven't even thought about the next steps from an internal employer brand perspective. What strategic advice would you give to those people on, you know, the steps that they could start putting in place now to start having the makings of an internal employer branding strategy?
Yeah, so I think we're not doing this, and I'm not suggesting you do this because it's a pretty rainbow exercise. It needs to help fix a problem the business is experiencing. So I think, you know, however stretched you are, your employer branding activity externally is solving a business problem, right? You're trying to hire more people, or you've got an issue where lots of people are leaving after the TA team is hiring them. So I think it's the first step is what is causing problems in the business that you are hearing about, you know, later down the line. If you can help solve those early on, then, you know, everyone wins. The TA team wins because they've got less requisitions. You're winning because you're not spinning loads of plates. So I think it's be as aware as you possibly can of what is causing your business leaders pain points. You know, it could be as simple as, you know, the HR director conversations you're having, or, you know, your boss is having. You know, what is she or he hearing what's causing problems, where are the pain points happening. It could be we've got massive attrition, or actually we've got a massive issue from a diversity perspective, or we're going into a new market, we don't have to do it. So the first point is try to understand what the problems are that the business is experiencing, because you may not have any kind of issue about it now in your role, but believe me, it's going to come and bite you in 6 months' time when it comes down that funnel and that line. So that's the first one. Secondly, if you genuinely don't have the capacity and the time, then I'm not going to suggest anyone gets burnt out, but I do believe that the more we look at things internally, the more efficient we are, and the more we're seen as a pivotal member of the talent and the HR function versus just a lever that you switch on or off when the business is hiring. So for me, I think there's a piece around you want to be proving to the business internally that you are, your value and your role and your function and your team is not only in activity mode when there's lots of hiring to be done. You are there to be just as a valuable lever to think about retention and internal engagement. So I think the second point is, whilst you're helping understand what the problems are to be solved, it's making yourself really seen as an internal talent, employer branding advisor, an internal advisor, expert as you are externally. So being really familiar with data, being really familiar with what the business leader and the CEO is saying are causing them problems, you then can distill those to actually, our hiring is too expensive. Work with the TA team to understand what there is. Our channels to market are great, but actually we're not getting enough advocacy. Our employees aren't sharing those. If I push that organic sharing by 5% and promise that next year, this is how much money we'll save. There's a wonderful post last week about advocacy where someone did a research report on Deloitte and EY, and just a minuscule percentage shift in the EY organic sharing from their employees compared to Deloitte had a massive impact. So again, you know, I think there's a really strong piece that actually you are going to be solving problems that will impact money, you know, pounds and dollars, everyone understands, impacts productivity and engagement. And then thirdly, and again, let's be really honest here, something that's going to make you look like you're important when times are tough, when the headcount pauses are in play, when people are looking at budget plays, when people are going, do we need that team or can we lessen that team? If you can make yourself look, not just look, you can add value internally, then why would you not?
Yeah, I think that's such a crucial point that you've raised there as well, Charu, because I speak to a lot of employer branders, and you know, I've unfortunately over the years, probably similar to you, spoken to a few that for whatever reason have been let go of in certain roles and whatever else. And, you know, the overarching kind of theme, it's almost the theme of acceptance with many of, like, you know, we stopped hiring people, you know, things, you know, went quiet from an attraction perspective. But I think a critical thing that you've raised here is, you know, don't let your role be defined by the hiring patterns of the business. Because if you focus just as much effort, or, you know, proportionately, however much effort you need to focus internally, your role all of a sudden becomes so much more like holistically focused to business performance as opposed to hiring performance, which I think is really important, isn't it, for employer branders to get their head around?
100%. And I think, you know, we and I, you know, this is a conversation that you have to have a door that's slightly open. You know, if it feels like pushing water up a hill, you know, wearing flippers and marigolds, and you know, maybe the business isn't ready for it. But I think, you know, if you can articulate this again and again and again, everyone wins, because certainly you become more holistically perceived internally and externally, and then also you are adding value in such big ways that benefits the TA team and your role ultimately. Yeah. I think it's more fun as well. It's definitely more interesting to be doing both than just doing one side of the coin.
Absolutely. It brings that whole new dimension in for people that are focusing on it currently, doesn't it? Charu, that brings us to the end of the episode, but not my last question, I will add. So at the end of every episode with every guest, we ask the same question. So the question is this. How can anybody listening that wants to avoid being employer bland, what advice would you give them?
Oh, I love that question. Nobody wants to have an employer bland. So I think, can I say two things? I think, first of all, be always razor sharp on what is distinctive in what you're saying. If you aren't aware of what's going on externally through with your competitor set, and I don't just mean once when you're doing the EVP, be razor sharp, be on it of what's being said externally, so that you aren't swimming in a sea of beige, and you are distinctive, which goes back to that point around this using this exercise as validating some of your EVP. Because suddenly, if you're 3 years ago we're all about innovation and learning opportunities, and now everyone in your space is now the time to be changing it, because actually it's not true internally anymore. And the second thing is, I think, we are in a wonderful world of curiosity. We are in a wonderful world of emotional levers. I think, we can infuse the culture by hiring and engaging people. Keeping things bland and safe, why do we do that? Go and watch the Volvo advert, go and watch some adverts that are being done by our consumer colleagues. They all hinge on an emotional hook. Now, we don't have that budget maybe, but we can certainly hinge into emotion. So everything we're doing, when you're thinking about moving jobs or staying in a job, is an influence on your heart and your head. So I think, that second point is be bolder, be braver, and don't get caught up in the constant consensus piece. If we want to be distinctive and you don't want to be beige and bland, you've got to stand out.
Yeah, really good advice. Really good advice. Charu, thank you so much. It's been lovely catching up. The time's just flown past. It's really, really enjoyed it. Thanks for taking the time out.
I really enjoyed the conversation. And I think what's lovely about it, Chris, is we're both approaching this with such open mind. So no one's got the real answer. It's actually, how do we just make this something part and parcel of our role? And I'd love to see this being more something we do in the employer branding space, in leadership roles, in manager roles. But no, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries at all. And I will include this next piece on the social post that we put out when the episode launches. But I just wanted to put a very quick soundbite onto this episode, that you are looking at your next career move, aren't you, as well? So,
yes,
anybody that's lucky enough to get you for the next role, can you just give us a very, very brief insight as to the type of ideal sort of role that you'd be looking to go into?
So I'm looking for a role that's either consulting, so coming in to help a business think about their employee value proposition and the dynamics of that tension between internal and external. So, if you need an EVP, or you want to look at your EVP, or you need some consulting work to coach your TA team in their employer branding and recruitment marketing, that's something I'd be really interested in. Or from a permanent perspective, really, really interested in looking at heads of employer branding roles, either in startups and medium-sized businesses, or globally as well. I've been very lucky that most of my roles have been global, so very, very used to working across multiple time zones and different types of geographies and individuals. But actively looking and really interested in connecting with people in the talent branding space. So if you aren't already, follow me or connect with me. And Chris, again, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, no worries at all. It's been really lovely catching up, and looking forward to seeing you again at one of the three or four different Christmas do's that I think we're both going to. So I'll see you very soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.